Let's go in-depth on Iowa State with the Des Moines Register.
It's time
for Cyclone Insider on 1460 KXNO.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Insider Radio Hour from the Des Moines Register on 106.3 FM and 1460 KXNO. Travis Hines and Randy Peterson here on a Wednesday rather than our normal Tuesday time slot because Iowa State last night played in Stillwater against Oklahoma State and suffered yet another defeat, falling to 2-15 overall, 0-12 in the Big 12. And Randy, I mean, at this point, I don't know that there's that much new to say. You know, we'll give our thoughts on what's going on with this team, with this program. But to me, I mean, it's more of the same and maybe even a little worse. I thought last night did not represent a step forward, and if anything, it represented a step back with a number of things on both ends of the floor in a game Iowa State ultimately lost by 18 points.
Well, yeah, Travis, I agree. The fact that Oklahoma State got seven dunks in the first half, I mean, Iowa State was slow-footed, getting back on defense, when in fact they did get back on defense. Oklahoma State would line five guys out around the perimeter and do their screening stuff and get to the basket with easy dunks, with straight line dunks. There were breakaway dunks. And right then I think I even texted you and said, you know, this team is getting, this is not good. This is not going to be good. And, you know, and Iowa State has had some somewhat decent starts. Last time Iowa State and Oklahoma State played, Iowa State led 11-2, and that's the first game that Iowa State had its four starters out. Sure, Cunningham didn't play that game either, and man, oh man, is he good. But this was for people wondering which direction this team is going, and for people that are trying to make something out of the baby steps that were taken, this nullified a lot of those baby steps. This was just not good.
Yeah, I mean, I thought a lot of their issues were on display last night against Oklahoma State. Is fine. They're not great. They're not bad. They're a fine. They're a, you know, probably a 7-11 seed in the NCAA tournament most years. Maybe a little bit better of that just because Cade Cunningham is so damn good. But to me, the issue for Iowa State is we just saw a lot of porous, leaky defense with bad communication, which we've seen all year long. And then on the other end, it's really hard for them to get easy buckets. Everything is, they have to work really hard for it. And not even with great sets or great movements. A lot of times it's just, can Rajir Bolton make a tough long two? Can he get to the rim and get fouled? Can Jalen Coleman Lands make a tough contested jumper, or can Solomon Young make a tough contested shot from the post? And those are all inefficient, difficult shots to take. Yes, Iowa State makes some of them. They maybe even make some of them at a higher clip than the national average. But the issue is that they just take so many more of them than the national average. Just really hard for them to get easy, consistent points, have that consistent source of offense. And it just has not been there because so much of it is predicated on, you know, low efficiency looks. And you put those two together, which I think we did for a lot of stretches last night. And that's when you get down by 15 to 20 points to Oklahoma State. And for big stretches of that game too, Randy, I thought it reminded me of Saturday's game against Kansas, where the margin of the deficit was not overwhelming, but it never felt like Iowa State was ever going to make a threat. You know, even when they cut it to six there in the second half, I didn't really think they had a great chance of winning just because of the reasons we've already talked about and because we've seen them do that before. I just feel like teams are able to get a lead on them and then they just mark time until the end of the game. And that's just, you know, I don't mean to be overly pessimistic, but we've seen that time and time again. And now they're 0-12. And, you know, the other thing, Randy, and I want to get your thoughts on this, we're seeing a lot of energy and effort, I think, from some of the older guys. I think Rajir Bolton is bringing it. I think Jalen Coleman Lands is really working his tail off, trying to bring energy, trying to you know, bring those hustle plays. He got on the floor a bunch. But that only goes so far. And last night or yesterday afternoon with the 3 o'clock tip, Jayden Walker only plays 22 minutes. Darlinson Dubar and Dudley Blackwell are DNP coaches' decisions yet again after a string of them. You, at what point do you need to start playing those freshmen? I mean, you're freshmen, you're 0-12. And yes, those older guys are bringing a lot, but does Javen Johnson need to play 37 minutes? Do all those guys need 35 plus minutes? I don't know. I mean, I think you've got a better path to understanding what you have next year if you play some of those freshmen. And maybe the calculus is a little more difficult than that when you're Steve Prohm and you feel like you potentially have to win a couple games to get another year. But it's just, I'm not sure what this accomplishes by keeping those guys on the bench, because certainly you're not finding out what they can do and, or getting them any experience for the future. I mean, do you think those guys need to see more minutes, or is it you got to do everything you can to squeeze every ounce of a chance of a victory out of this team as you can?
I think you squeeze every ounce you can out of a victory if, in fact, this team is going to win. We've seen what the freshmen can do. We saw what they could do earlier in this season. Dubar started, right? I think
over a month ago.
Yeah, exactly. He started, yes, and they didn't exactly. They played like freshmen. So I'm disagreeing with you a little bit right now, because I think the rest of this season is about Iowa State trying to win a game, and I don't know whether you're going to win a game with the freshmen who haven't played with them out there playing.
Well, we've seen 15 instances where they didn't play and they didn't win. So what are we losing here if you're Steve Prohm?
Well, you're putting your faith in the coaching staff that they know who the best five are. I guess that's the best seven or eight or whatever it is. I guess that's what that is. I guess I can see both sides of it. But I don't like to be wishy-washy like that. But I get it. And I don't know whether this is going through Steve Prohm's head or not. I don't have any idea. But if he's trying to win three games, whatever, this season, to try to save his job, if in fact his job is in jeopardy, then I think he's got a better shot doing it by playing Trey Jackson, Tyler Harris, those guys, Javen for whatever it is, 32 minutes the last four games, than he does the freshmen who have not even played. Now, if this is about next season, sure, play the freshmen, and you know, but what kind of message does that signal for the rest of this season also, that you're essentially throwing in the towel when they're good enough to play now, when they haven't been good enough to play in the past? It's a tough one, man. It's like foul, no foul. It's a tough one. What I want to see more Condit. I want to see more George. I think we both spoke to him earlier in the season, and last night I was the only one on the Zoom call, and he was pretty good last night. In the last four games, his numbers are better than Solomon Young's. And that's not an indictment on Solomon Young. It's not an indictment. Solomon Young is more of a scoring post. And like you said earlier, there's no baskets coming easy for this Iowa State team. So it's another instance where I guess we have to trust Coach Prohm that he's managing the roster. And I guess there could be questions about that as well, roster management.
Yeah. So I think to go back to the freshman, just to put a cap on that before moving on to Condit, I would say I agree with you that it's not a slam dunk one way or the other. I lean one way, you lean the other. But what I would say is that I think you could make the argument that wins and losses are going to matter less to whether Steve comes back for another year than just having a trajectory to get better next year, because two wins does nothing for you this year, whereas an additional two wins maybe next year is what gets the job done for you. And we don't know exactly how Steve sees the situation or how Jamie Pollard sees the situation, But to me, like, it might be more persuasive to say, look at the young talent we have coming back. Let's give this another shot in a non-pandemic year, save the money on the buyout, and give it one more shot. I think you could make that argument. And I think what has been the silver lining of the last month of the season? It's been Jaden Walker, who barely got to play at the start of the year, moving into the starting lineup. So to give Dubar or Blackwell another opportunity, I think makes sense. And again, I'm not saying play them 25 to 35 a night, but maybe 5 to 10. You shave a couple minutes off of some of the older guys, you know, again, who are playing heavy minute load. Like, it's not going to – I don't know that it's going to be a big deal if instead of playing 37 minutes, some of those guys play, you know, 30 to 32 to 34. And I think that just gives you a chance to see what you've got there, maybe inspire some optimism about the youth on the roster beyond Walker and beyond Xavier Foster, who's obviously not playing. But obviously, there's, I think, a lot that would probably go into a decision like that we don't have visibility into. So I get why maybe that's not happening, but I would like to hear more about it potentially. When it comes to Conda, yeah, I think, I mean, he was a shadow of himself earlier this season. And the last maybe 2, 3, 4 games, I think we've seen something closer to what he has shown in previous iterations in his career. And to be fair, I mean, he's had those really high highs in both of his previous seasons as a freshman and a sophomore, but not consistently through an entire season. So maybe the timing is just different where he's picking it up late in the year. I would like to see more. I thought him only playing 7 minutes in the second half yesterday was a mistake. But obviously, you know, we've seen time and time again, you know, where Steve Prohm really wants to lean not only on his starters, but on his seniors, of which Solomon Young is a fifth-year senior, and guys that he trusts. And he really trusts Solomon Young. So I think it's going to be hard to dislodge him from minutes unless Condit is playing great. And I don't think he's playing great. I think he's playing much improved from where he's been. And again, you know what, if he's playing, Iowa State's going to be better if Condit is at his best versus if Young is at his best, just because, in my opinion, he's got a higher ceiling.
Yeah, exactly. What I want to see from George, I want to see some scoring, but we've never really seen that. We've never seen that from him. In the first 7 minutes last night, he had 4 of his 6 rebounds. He had 2 of his 3 block shots in 7 minutes, during which he also had 2 fouls. Yeah, he's aggressive. And I agree with you. I wanted to see more than 7 minutes out of him in the second half. I did. And it's like we said, it's a roster management thing. Do you want Solomon Young, who hasn't been over the last 4 games? Solomon Young is averaging maybe 7 points. I did the numbers here. 7 points a game over the last 4 games. That's, you need more scoring in the post. Because they like to play inside out. The ball usually goes in. Solomon usually has a touch on every possession. That teams now know how to defend his hook shot. They know what he's going to do. Occasionally he'll step out and make a basket, but he's certainly not playing right now like the player that Prohm hoped he would be at the beginning of the season when he called him one of the Big 12's best big guys. I would like to have seen more minutes from Condit. And they're not going to play two bigs. I mean, we've seen that. They're not going to play two bigs. The only way they could play two bigs at the same time this year was if Xavier Foster was in there. And only then if he's making some perimeter shots, which I think he can do, but you know, we've not been able to see him a whole lot. But going back to the whole roster management thing, it's for Tyler Harris to play 12 minutes last night. I don't understand that one quite either. And then for Jaben to play 37 minutes last night. You're right, Travis. Jalen Coleman Lands has been working his tail off. Jaden Walker has probably shown the most improvement, has shown the most improvement of anyone on the team. And I think that's a big measuring stick is also as we enter the last 3 weeks, 2 weeks, whatever it is of the season, who's improving and who's not. And I think that's going to be an important measuring measuring devices as, you know, after this season.
It's the Cyclone Radio Insider Hour from the Des Moines Register on 106.3 FM and 1460 KXNO. Randy Peterson, Travis Hines here talking about Iowa State basketball. You know, and Randy, maybe on a more macro level, Iowa State was supposed to be playing Texas tomorrow night at Hilton Coliseum, a game to make up from when Iowa State was on a COVID-19 pause. That game got postponed earlier this week so Texas could play Oklahoma tonight on a Wednesday. That game got moved to tomorrow, and now it has been postponed indefinitely as Texas is experiencing extreme weather and really scary power outages, to which, from everything that I have read through Wednesday, there's not a great timetable for when that might abate. So Iowa State now does not play until Saturday. And then on Tuesday, they're supposed to go to Texas, which, again, who knows what the viability of that is on Tuesday, to play number two Baylor, who hasn't played in, it seems like, months because of COVID-19. The thing now is, Randy, I mean, we've just got so many postponements, so many reschedules piling up, to where it's going to be very, very tricky for the league to fit them all in. Especially, I thought, you know, why isn't Kansas State and Iowa State playing tomorrow night, where you could have moved Kansas and K-State, which is tonight, to last night? It just, I feel like they have not taken advantage of all the open dates that they could, and now you're going to be in a situation where, you know, unless everything works perfectly from now until March 1st, which, you know, good luck with that, I don't know that they're going to be able to get all these games in.
I don't think there's any way Iowa State plays a full 20 or 18, whatever. 18, yeah. I don't see any way that's happening. I mean, for some reason, and I get it, it's probably TV, the Big 12 doing everything it could to play UTOU, to play that Texas-Oklahoma game. Man, they were doing everything. Let me throw this one out there. Unless for because of reasons that's not. I don't even know where that game was supposed to be played. You know, where was that game supposed to be played?
I think Oklahoma,
I don't even know. But that's regardless, because but nonetheless, Oklahoma City's got bad weather too. But if in fact it was because those games could not be played in the facilities because of the power, because down in Texas and Oklahoma, you're trying to limit the using power as much as you can, why not move them up here? I mean, there's not any crowds anyway. Why not move them up here? Why not move it to Lawrence? Why not move it to K-State? Why not move it to Iowa State? Why not move these games up here? Gyms are, you know, if there's an open space. I don't think the Big 12's done a great job managing these postponements, and I get it. They don't know when a postponement is coming. I understand that. But they tried so hard to play Texas and OU that now it's Iowa State's not playing from whatever last Tuesday night on that. Oklahoma's supposed to come up here. I'm assuming it'll be fine by then. But it's head scratching sometimes. And I don't see how anybody, or Iowa State at least, and Baylor are gonna play 18 games this year. And Baylor hasn't played in, I think when Baylor and Iowa State play next Tuesday, allegedly, I think Baylor would have not played six or seven games. So I don't get it, but I, you know, TV, I don't know how much of an impact TV has in the decisions on some of these reschedulings, but I agree with you. When I asked Prohm about it last night, I don't know whether he slipped up a little bit or what, but he kind of insinuated that they're talking about Texas coming up here a week from Thursday. Prohm kind of started to mention that Tuesday night in the press conference, but then he stopped in mid sentence. But that would make sense. I think that game needs to be played. But as far as Iowa State against Kansas State, do they really need to make that one up? Iowa State's going to be the number 10 seed anyway. And I'm not looked at Texas Tech schedule, but But they may need to make the Texas Tech game up, I guess, possibly, because it might affect Texas Tech's seeding in the whatever they're going to be in the upper half, obviously. But it's a darn good thing. Let's just say this. It's a darn good thing the Big 12 left that first week of March open before the Big 12 tournament to reschedule games, because that's going to be one heck of a busy week.
Well, and now with the Texas losing its Oklahoma game, like, how does Texas get that game rescheduled plus the Iowa State game rescheduled? And to your point, the Big 12 tournament seedings are potentially going to be impacted by these games playing or not being played. But I wonder, and I hope this isn't too conspiratorial, I guess let's just put it in facts. While Texas, Iowa State may be important or may be determinative in a Big 12 seeding, it would be better, but just straight up, it would be better for all these NCAA tournament teams for the Big 12 not to play Iowa State the rest of the year, because that's going to be – there is zero upside and there is only downside. If you lose, it's a quad four loss. If you win, it's a quad four win, which does nothing for you. So it makes more sense from a big picture perspective not to play those games, or at least not to bend over backwards to play those games. But I don't think that that's likely to be the Big 12's reasoning. One, it's a little unfair to competitive balance. It's unfair to Iowa State. And they're going to want whatever those gate receipts are for some of those universities. They're going to want the TV inventory. But just from a black and white perspective, it's better for the Big 12's NCAA tournament hopes not to play for whatever games Iowa State and Kansas State, and to a lesser extent TCU, have to reschedule. If those don't happen, those are probably better, or at least lessens your risk for the NCAA tournament.
You said it right there, Travis. You said TV inventory, and that's important. Even if whether it's Iowa State, whether it's K-State, whether it's whomever, Oklahoma State, TV revenue, ESPN, if needs programming, they need to fill some airtime, and that's part of the Big 12 contract. So I think they'll do everything they can to play those games. And to your point, I would hope the Big 12 would not do anything nefarious. I don't know whether that's the right word or not, but as far as not rescheduling games, which they don't have to, they could just say, hey, there's no place to reschedule these games. And that would not be a lie. That would absolutely not be a lie. Because everybody has rescheduled games out there, but Baylor, for example, like we said, they've got a ton of games left. So that first week of March is going to be, could be very busy.
Yeah, there is a lot of uncertainty certainly surrounding both college basketball at large, certainly the Big 12, and, obviously Iowa State as well, as they sit 0-12 in the league. Trying to avoid their first winless league season since 1937, when they went 0-10 in the Big Six. They'll get their next chance at a win Saturday at home against Oklahoma. Maybe, presumably, potentially. Randy and I will be there, presumably, potentially, maybe, to give you plenty of coverage on DesMoinesRegister.com. That's all we've got for today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Cyclone Insider Radio Show from the Des Moines Register on 106.3 FM and 1460 KXNO.